The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Ed Funston of KILR in Estherville and Gordon Wolf of the Denison Bulletin and Review. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, how are you?
Very good. Glad to answer your question. Thanks to both of you for being on here.
President Trump unveiled his tax cut plan yesterday. How do you feel about the plan? Are you happy with the cuts that he's proposing?
The answer is yes, from two standpoints. One, on the personal income tax cut from 39.6 down to 35, it's exactly the same place we ended up when I had chairmanship of the Finance Committee in 2001, and we passed what was called then the biggest tax cut in the history of Congress. Now this one presumably is going to be bigger. And so obviously that's the sort of tax policy I like, or I wouldn't have adopted it. The second one is on the corporate tax rate down to 15%. I'm satisfied with that, maybe overly satisfied with that, because I think if we could get it down to 20, anything below 35 for corporate tax rate is a marginal tax rate, because it's the highest tax rate in the industrial world. Some people say it's the highest corporate tax rate in the entire globe. Either way, it makes our business very uncompetitive, and reducing a marginal tax rate for corporations to be more competitive with international competition is going to create a lot of jobs. Denison?
Yes, Senator, thank you for taking my questions. I wanted to turn to the Trump administration and policies on immigration and sanctuary cities. Do you consider the federal court in San Francisco, which ruled Trump's executive order denying funding to sanctuary cities, as unconstitutional, a blow to his administration? I realize that he would have control over a very small amount of the federal funding.
Yeah. First of all, you got to have respect for judges' decisions, even if you disagree with them. And I think that there's an agreement and a disagreement, if I could divide it up. I think maybe where he says that the executive order is too broad, not specific enough, but he's the judge is inferring, if it's limited to law enforcement issues, that it might be it would be a different ruling. And so I think it just kind of dictates that the president go back and rewrite it within what the judge says the statute allows, and be a little more specific, a little bit like maybe the first refugee resolution that he came out with. He had to go back and rewrite it. Now, even that rewritten one was declared by some judges as to be contrary to the Constitution or the statutes, but there was a judge or two that said it was okay. So you have to respect the judge, and at this point, go back to the drawing board.
Senator, Canada and Mexico have reportedly agreed to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, and I wonder how you feel about that, and if you think it could hurt American agriculture.
Well, we got as I told Peter Navarro, the White House advisor on trade, he isn't going to be negotiating, but he is an advisor. I said, you got to be very cautious when you start renegotiating these, because agriculture's one of two things. If we're retaliated against, it's general agriculture that gets retaliated against. And if you get an agreement or you reach an agreement, you better have a pretty good agricultural section to it, because if you want to get manufacturing and services through, it's kind of the agriculture stuff that's a locomotive to move the whole thing through, particularly in the United States Senate. I guess what I'm just said to Peter Navarro, and I'm saying to you, is you better be cautious when you're negotiating anything, bilateral, renegotiating as well. And this is going to be a renegotiation. There is some feeling after 30 years that there's some things that ought to be changed in NAFTA. And one thing that gives me hope that agriculture won't be hurt, or maybe the other sectors as well, there's been a real modification or moderating approach to renegotiating NAFTA than what the president said in the campaign. In other words, there's a little bit of reality that once you get to be president, it may not look as simple as it really is. And I think these statements yesterday plus a couple weeks ago is a little more satisfying to me. Back to Dennison.
Yes, Senator, thank you. I wanted you to talk a little bit about reform of the federal biodiesel tax credit, why that's important. I understand it transfers the credit to the producers of biodiesel. Shouldn't this also be done in ethanol to make sure that, I heard from you last week that perhaps some people are trying to put it on the retailers, the enforcement of the renewable fuel standard.
Yeah, you're really bringing two different questions, which is all right. The White House at one time, but I think we got it stopped, what we call the point of obligation. How do you enforce the law that says you have the oil companies have to mix 10% ethanol? That's done at the refinery level now, there were people trying to get it done, so it was done at the retail level. So that means you got 20 refiners that have to guarantee the mixture's 10%. And then you want to transfer it to thousands and thousands of small cases and come and goes like that and get it, have them do it and put the burden on so many small businesses when the president's trying to relieve that burden. I think we've got that stopped. Now, there's still possibility that EPA could do it, but I think that we're going to be able to stop it. Then the other one is presently, there is a tax incentive to get the infant industry of biodiesel going so it becomes as strong as ethanol. Ethanol has been around for 30 years, biodiesel for not even a third of that time, so it's going to continue to have a tax credit. So two reasons. One, to have the tax credit to continue to nurture the industry along. And number two, when you have a dollar a gallon tax credit, it applies to domestic, but it also, under the present law, applies to imports from Argentina and other countries. And we should not be subsidizing foreign imports we just should not be having the taxpayers spend. It's somewhere between $700 million and $1 billion a year at $1 a gallon. And so what our bill does is do away with that tax on the imports, that is.
Senator, tensions between the U.S. and North Korea are at a very high level right now because North Korea reports that they're going to be may conduct another nuclear test. How concerned are you about a possible, some kind of military action that the U.S. might take against North Korea?
Well, the United States isn't going to take military action unless we're expecting a threat, which would be an intercontinental ballistic missile that would either go to Hawaii or to California, and they're trying to seek that capability. So we would preempt that, of course, if we get a chance to do it. The other one is short of that, I don't think that there will be any action that we will take, but we're surely going to concentrate on China helping us out. And I just heard the president say yesterday that he's very confident that China's doing a lot, at least more than they've ever done before. And there's a real effort to wait out China to see if they're successful, and we won't have to take action if China is successful intervening to get North Korea non-nuclear. Thank you, Ed and Gordon, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.